Good morning. Whoa. I'm yelling at you this morning. Okay. Before we dive into the message, I do want to give a big thank you to everyone who donated scholarships and will continue to donate scholarships for the youth. I said last week that we needed five, and we definitely got what we needed and then some. So that's good on you guys. Thank you. If you still would like to donate, that would be awesome, and here's why. So here's how it works. It costs the kids to go to camp, but it also costs leaders to go. And we as a church decided a long time ago, way before my time, that we do not charge our leaders to go to camp. However, Twin Low does. So we also could use scholarships for the leaders. If we don't get it, it comes right out of our youth fund, and then it kind of affects how we operate throughout the year. So if you feel encouraged to do so and you feel God pressing on your heart, please do so. It will go to good use. So with that being said, we're going to dive into the message this morning. This morning, God has laid something on my heart, something that I hope will be useful and also applicable to all of us in here. The title of my message is The Gift of Sabbath. The Gift of Sabbath. The Sabbath day is no doubt one of the most contentious and argued about and debated about topics in the modern church. It seems that there's two schools of thought when it comes to the Sabbath day. There's one that says that Christians must honor the Sabbath. These are people who say that we must make the Sabbath almost a matter of law, and that if we don't honor the Sabbath, then we are not proper Christians. I know some of you have probably heard people say that. These are people that say that if you don't do your worship service on Saturdays, then you don't know how to worship God. On the flip side, then there are Christians who say that the Sabbath day is completely obsolete, that Jesus on the cross fulfilled the law, fulfilled the requirements of the law, and because of that, because we are not bound by the law anymore, and we have no purpose for the things of the law, then the Sabbath day is obsolete. And I will tell you before we really dive in to put your hearts at ease, I am more in line with the second group. I do not believe that the Sabbath is something that we are bound by the law to keep, because Jesus did in fact fulfill the requirements of the law with his death and resurrection. So, in other words, observing the Sabbath day, it will do nothing for us to earn favor with God, to give us a better position in his eyes, because we are saved by grace alone, amen? But with that being said, I do not believe that we have no purpose or use for the Sabbath day in today's world. I believe that it can still be applicable to us here today. So we could ask ourselves, what is the Sabbath day? When we think about the Sabbath day, most of us think about it as the day of rest, the day that God commanded the Israelites, you are not to do any work on the seventh day. We know that the Israelites took it to the extreme, so much so that they had it down to the very number of steps that they were allowed to take on the Sabbath day before it became work. And while rest is one important aspect of the Sabbath day, rest was not the only function or the only purpose for the Sabbath day. It was a big part of it, but the rest was also meant to be observed in conjunction with remembrance. With remembrance. The two were meant to go hand in hand, rest and remembrance, in Sabbath day worship. So much so that I would argue that rest on Sabbath without remembrance was not true Sabbath observance. And we may ask, what remembrance of what? What were they to remember? And there is a couple of things God tells Israelites you are to remember or keep in mind while you observe the Sabbath. The first is creation. Creation. If you turn your Bibles to Exodus 20, verses 8 through 10, this is where God is giving Moses the Ten Commandments. He's on Mount Sinai, and God tells Moses, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Neither you, nor your sons or daughters, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that was in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God tells them they are not to do any work on the Sabbath day, because he himself rested on the seventh day after creating everything. After the 6 days of creation, God rested on the seventh day. And in doing so, he himself set up the pattern for rest. He set up the pattern for the Sabbath day. And because God rested, because he blessed the seventh day and made it holy, that was why they got the blessing. That is why the ancient Israelites and even the Jews today got the blessing of the Sabbath day. That is why it was a holy day. And it's actually interesting because this is a direct quote from Genesis. In Genesis 2:3, it says that God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Did you know that this is the first time in Scripture, the first time in all the Bible, that something is called holy? The 6 days of creation, God says that those were good. Those were good. But the seventh day, he says, is holy. And that's the first time holy is used in all the Bible. Maybe I'm the only one that found that interesting. But he set that up, the holy day, way before he meets with Moses on Mount Sinai. So they were told to remember God's goodness in creation, that because God himself rested, they were able to enjoy the blessing, the gift of rest. Remembrance for creation. They were also told to remember God's deliverance. Deuteronomy 5:12-15. This again is a rehashing of the Ten Commandments. And God says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your sons or daughters, nor your male and female servants, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. They were told to remember that they were slaves, that they were not their own people, how they worked at the behest of Pharaoh, at the very command of Pharaoh. But then God showed up. They were told to remember how God delivered them with a mighty and outstretched hand. And because God delivered them, because God is a good God who cares for his people, who loves his people, that desires his people to be free, he brought them out of their slavery, out of the land of Egypt, and made them into a nation. And they were to remember during the Sabbath day how God had delivered them, how God had delivered them from their oppressors. And because God is a good God, he gives them the blessing of a day of rest to commemorate the time when they were in Egypt and had to work day after day after day for Pharaoh. They were called to remember the deliverance of God. So while the Sabbath day is about rest, that rest was meant to be observed in conjunction with remembrance. And when we look at the Sabbath with that in mind, we see it is more than just about rest. We see it is more about worship while we rest. Worship in rest. It was a day where their rest was meant to be viewed as a gift from God because of all that God had done for them. And in that, the Sabbath day is a gift. The Sabbath day is a gift. And Jesus himself affirms this. In Mark chapter 2, we see a story of Jesus and the Pharisees. And we're going to read it. It's Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 23. And it says, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? He answered, have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath. Here in the story, it is, of course, the Sabbath day. And we see Jesus and his disciples walking through the grain field. And they're picking grains as they go. But the Pharisees see this, and they perceive this as work, therefore making it unlawful for them to basically eat on the Sabbath day. And when they confront Jesus and they ask him why they were being unlawful, he tells them this story about David and how he eats the consecrated bread that was meant only for the priest. Therefore, saying that David basically broke the law himself. And then he says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And what is the whole point of this story? The point is that the Pharisees, they viewed the Sabbath as primarily a vehicle of the law. They viewed it as a box that they were meant to check, something that they had to do to be accepted by God. And they missed the whole point, that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was meant to be a gift. He says that the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath. And I believe that he says that is because he was there when it was created. Right? All things were made by him, for him, and through him. So Jesus was there when the Sabbath was created. And he knows what it's meant to be about. He knows what its background is. He knows what its purpose is. And that purpose was meant to be a gift for man. A gift for man. It wasn't meant to be a box checked in relationship to the law. It was meant for rest and remembrance and worship of God. The Sabbath is a gift. And I believe that is still true even here today, even as New Testament Christians. Even though we are under the new covenant, I believe that the Sabbath can still be a gift for us. And the question is, how do we apply this to our lives here in 2019? How do we apply this to our lives? And I believe it does apply to our lives. Because I believe that here in America, I got to tell you that we have an epidemic that is sweeping our nation. We have an epidemic that is sweeping our churches. An epidemic that affects not only our mental health, our physical health, but also our spiritual health. An epidemic that I am talking about is that of busyness. Busyness. I mean, just think about it. How often when you are talking to someone and you ask them, hey, how are you doing? Hey, how was your week? How did it go? They say, oh, it was great. I'm just so busy. Oh, how are your kids doing? Oh, they're great, but they're just so dang busy. How often do you text someone or try to call someone and they don't get back to you for a few days and they say, oh, hey, sorry I got back to you so late. I've just been so busy. I know I myself am guilty of this very thing. The truth is that as Americans, we take pride in being busy. We do. It's something that we love. We love being busy. Because if we are busy, if we are constantly on the go, constantly doing something, that means that we are important. Don't believe me? I read one study by Harvard Business Review that said that busyness has actually become a new status symbol amongst us Americans. Meaning, the study showed that the more busy we perceive someone to be, the more higher esteem we hold them in, the better that we view them. And the opposite is true. The more lazy we perceive someone to be, the more leisurely we hold them in low esteem. You may be surprised to find out that the average American works 47 hours per week. I know some of you scoff at that because you work way more. I mean, I know for myself, 47 hours, that's probably a good week. But you may be even more surprised to find out that amongst the richest countries in the world, we still work far more hours than they do. According to the International Labor Organization, the average American will work 137 more hours a year than the average Japanese worker. The average American will work 260 more hours a year than the average British worker. And you ready for this? The average American will work 499 more hours a year than the average French worker. Again, supporting the idea that the busier we are, the more that we work, the more validated that we feel, the more important that we feel. And I know what you may be thinking, well, I get 2 days off. But mostly on those 2 days, we throw everything else on top of that that we have to do. We have events, we have meetings, we have shuttling their kids to their sports, to their activities. We have parties that we go to. We have things that we go plan. We go all over the place. Our weekends are not days of rest for the most part. Whatever it is that we do, we like to stay busy. And I would argue that this culture of busyness has affected our church greatly. I would argue that the culture of busyness has affected our faith greatly because we are just too busy. We are just too busy. We're too busy that we don't have time to read our Bibles. That's one as a pastor you get a lot. I don't have time to do that. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to go to church. We don't have time to go to a life group. We don't have time to get involved. And then we wonder why our churches are anemic, why our Christianity is superficial, and why our faith hasn't grown in years, why we have pastor burnout in America that's through the roof. We wonder why we're constantly tired, constantly stressed out, why we feel like we can't get ahead in life, and why we're constantly on the go. And I got to ask myself, is this the way that God intended it for us? Is this how he intended Americans to live in the 21st century? And I don't believe that it is. I don't believe that it is. And don't get me wrong, God intends us to work. Work is good. He told Adam to work. It's like the first thing he tells him to do in the Bible. You will work the garden. But God also intended us to have a time where we catch our breath, where we regroup. And that's what I believe that the Sabbath is about. That is part of the reason why I believe God made the Sabbath, to give us a chance to slow down, to regroup, to refocus. And that is why I believe that this message, this passage in Mark, and the Sabbath day itself is still relevant in today's world. And I also believe that this is something that we as a church have decided to completely forget about, to put on the back burner. I think a lot of times we just chalk it up to an Old Testament thing, something that the Jews did, and since we are not Jews, then we don't even think about it. But the words of Jesus are still true. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And how this looks like in our world today is I think it looks a lot like it did in their world back then, by rest and remembrance. I think it looks like us setting aside time every week to rest. Whatever that looks like for you, it looks different for everyone. And when I think of rest, when I say rest, what I mean by that, I don't mean just sitting at home and staring at a blank wall for 24 hours like the Jews pretty much did. That's not what I think that it means. I think what it means is replenishment and rejuvenation. So what makes you feel rejuvenated? Some of us like different things. Some of us like to go for hikes or a bike ride or running. I don't get those people. That doesn't make me feel rejuvenated. Some of us like to go to movies. You know, maybe it's knitting, sewing, reading. Whatever it is, I think whatever makes you feel rejuvenated, that's what I think of when I think of rest. I think we have a misconception that Sabbath rest, again, means that we have to just sit at home, stare at the wall for 24 hours. Because we can't walk, we can't cook, we can't do all that. No, like I said, this is not a matter of the law. This is a matter of the heart. That's not what it is about. Truly, I think it is more about setting time aside, disconnecting from the things of the world, doing what you love that makes you appreciate, thank God for his blessings. I think it is about focusing on God, doing what makes you feel replenished, recharged, and filled up. But it's not just about rest. It is also about remembering. Remembering God's blessings. Remembering the goodness of God. Remembering that what God created is good. And us getting out and enjoying that creation, enjoying what he gave us, that is good too. Remembering that God also delivered us from our slavery. Our slavery to sin. Because we were slaves before we found Jesus. Amen? just as the Israelites were slaves, we were slaves, working for another, working for the ruler of this world. But God came with a mighty and outstretched hand, and he delivered us. God came, he took our place. Jesus took our place and took the punishment that we deserve. And he paid the penalty for our sins so that we could become children of God. And now we don't belong to the prince of this world. We belong to Christ. We are his children. And as God's children, we get the privileges in enjoying in the gifts that he has given his kids. And one of those gifts, I believe, is the Sabbath day. You know, this is something that I speak from experience because Brooke and I have been really trying to implement this into our lives for about 6 months now. I say trying because it isn't easy. I'm not going to pretend to you that it's easy. There are weeks where we miss it, but we try every week to have a Sabbath day. And that day, it varies. It's not the same day every week. Sometimes it's Friday, Saturday, sometimes it's Sunday. Like today, we're doing our Sabbath day today. It just depends. But we were at this place about 6 months ago where we kind of felt like our life was crazy. We were both working full-time, doing ministry. I was really focusing on the youth. She was doing her BSF. And we just felt like our life was going a million miles per hour. We were always tired. I felt like we barely saw each other, and if we did, it's because we were working on something. And I know that there are a lot of you here that relate to that. You relate to that. But anyways, we had started studying the Sabbath day. We had heard a couple messages, and then I think she read a book, and we decided that we were just going to give it a go. And I've got to tell you that it really helped. It really helped us refocus, and it really enhanced our relationship with God. And how it looks for all of us will be different. But we always try to remember God. We always try to stay focused on him while we do the Sabbath day. And I know we say, like, well, we should do that every day. That's the Christian answer, right? You should be focused on God every day. But the truth is, the majority of us, we don't do that, okay? Let's just be real. I mean, we could be real in here, right? It's really helped us. And sometimes we start the Sabbath day by singing a few worship songs together. We read. We try to fast from social media. Sometimes we plug our phones in all together and just leave it there for 24 hours. I know the youthers in here just about fainted because we don't look at our phones for a whole 24 hours. We don't know what's going on in the world. Sometimes we go to the movies. We go out to a nice dinner. We ride bikes. We just all together unplug from the things of this world. And like I said, it has really made a big impact on our lives and on our relationships with God. And I miss the weeks where we don't do it. I miss the weeks where we don't do it. What we don't do the things that feel like work to us. If stuff isn't done when our Sabbath is scheduled to start, guess what? We don't do it. We don't do it. We don't do the dishes. We don't vacuum. We don't do church stuff. And I say church stuff, well, I mean, I don't work on youth or I don't work on messages. I mean, I'm speaking right now, but this is a rare occasion. And it's not because we don't like to do those things, but it's because we feel the Sabbath is about filling up. It's about filling up, not pouring out. And sometimes it means that we say no to things. Sometimes we say no to overtime. There's been times where I've been asked to work on Saturday. We could really probably use the money because we got a baby on the way. But I say no because we are going to do a Sabbath day on Saturday. And we feel that rest and remembrance of God is more important than work. We say no to work opportunities. We say no to work opportunities. Sometimes we say no to invitations for stuff. And you know what the amazing thing that we have found out is? Leaving stuff undone, saying no to stuff. One, it hasn't affected our relationship with any of our friends. And two, the world is still standing in the morning. The world is still standing. If I don't get on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram for 24 hours, the world is still rotating. It's amazing. It's really an amazing thing. And that's why I believe that the Sabbath day can be a gift for us. That's why I believe that it is a gift from God, because it is truly freeing to take a day of rest and to use it as an act of worship, to use it as an act of worship, to use it for the gift that it is, to take time and thank him for all that he has done in our lives, for all of his blessings, to do things that honor him and give him glory. And it does give him glory. God himself rested. Don't miss that point. God himself rested. Did God need to rest? No. He is God. Everything he created with his voice. He didn't need to rest. He rested to set up the pattern. And then he told the Israelites, as you rest, as you enjoy this gift, remember what I've done for you. Remember what I've done for you. And I'm going to ask the music ministry team to come up. Again, I know that it's not a matter of the law. I get that. I'm not saying that it is a matter of the law, because it's not meant to be a burden on us. I know that it doesn't make God more favorable to us. I know that we are found in Christ. But I still believe the Sabbath is something that can be useful. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And my encouragement for us this morning is that you simply give it a try. You know, a lot of times as pastors, this is the beautiful thing about this message. A lot of times as pastors, we spend our time telling you what you should do, you know, how you should be living. This isn't one of those messages. This is a message where I'm encouraging you what you could be doing, what you get to do, the gift that you could receive if we just take the time to settle down, to rest, to refocus, and to remember God. Because it is a gift. It is a gift, people. It is. And he gave it to us so that we could enjoy it, so that we could be in his presence. And he wants nothing more than to spend that time with us. Amen? And I would encourage you and I would ask you, are you going to implement this into your life? And just try it once. Try it one weekend. I know some of you are going to say, well, that's impossible. It's not impossible. It's just about saying no to some things. It's about setting the time aside and trusting that God will bless you through it. Amen? Let's worship.